Happy Wednesday, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your day has gone well. Now, you know the old expression that confession is good for the soul. I want to confess something to you here real quick before we get started. If you're like I am, it seems like dates and times can come upon you quickly, specifically in this particular day and age. And last week, I told you I wanted you to spend some time in a particular scriptural passage, but the one thing that hadn't dawned on me was that there's a very special day coming up this Sunday. Most of you know what that is. That is Mother's Day. So I would be remiss if I didn't take the time to look at some scriptural passages that talk about mom and look at some qualities of mom. So hold what you've got. I'll mention it again at the end of the Bible study of what those passages were that I mentioned we were going to be doing this week. But in the meantime, grab your Bible. I want you to turn it over to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. That's Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll be right back in just a moment to talk about moms. Hey folks, we're glad that you're joining us today for our Bible study. Just a moment ago, I mentioned that we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, when we consider coming into Mother's Day, there are many mothers in the Bible that we could stop and consider today. There's Eve, who is the mother of us all. There's Hannah, the mother of Samuel. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus. But today, our choice is Jehochabed, and that is the mother of Moses. Now, she was a mother during some very, very difficult times. Now, if you remember, and as you look back, and as we discover the passages today, she was in that particular time where all male babies that were under the age of two were sentenced to death. And as a mom, I can only imagine, what mothers all over were thinking at that particular time. You know, you got this precious baby and all the male children. Let me go back and say all the male children that were 2 years of age and under were ordered to be put to death. But yet, the faith of Moses' mother and father were outstanding. Now, I want us to look at the scriptures today. I mentioned a moment ago it was going to be Hebrews chapter 11, but we're actually going to begin reading with verse 23. So Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 23, reads as follows. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." Let's go one more verse. "By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we just ask that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts. We pray that you might instill within us the word that you would want us to have today. Father, help us as listeners to be cautious and anticipating what it is that you have for each and every one of us individually today. May we make application to our lives. May we see characteristics and qualities in your word that we can apply to our lives today. And Lord, as always, we thank you so much for moms. We pray that you will bless them, particularly as we head into this coming Sunday where we'll honor those moms. Bless our time together, Father, as only you can. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I mentioned a moment ago that Jehochabed, which is Moses' mother, was in a very difficult time. All the male children under 2 years of age were ordered to be put to death. And what she did was she acted in faith, and essentially she entered into what's often called God's Hall of Fame, or the Faith Hall of Fame, in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, let me give you a little bit of background to this story, although for most of you, I probably don't have to do that. Most of you probably know what was taking place. Most of you know what was going on. So at any rate, you know, Moses is born. That decree had gone out that all those male children 2 years of age and under be put to death. So Moses' mom was very incredibly intelligent, but don't get me wrong, she was led by God. We always have to make sure that we keep that in the picture as well. So essentially what happened was, as Moses was born, she realized that she probably was not going to be able to get away with hiding him for very long, because, you know, babies cry. You know, people talk as well. You know, there's jealousy that goes about if there would have been another mother who had been caught with her child that had been put to death, and then all of a sudden they see Jehochabed. You know, I'm sure that there was probably some tattletale antics that were going on along the way with that. But at any rate, she decided she had a plan. You know, there was a way to be able to protect him. So we read in the Old Testament scriptures where what she did was she made a basket. Many people still today will call a certain type of a basket a Moses basket. And what Jehochabed did was she weaved this basket, and it says that she covered it inside with pitch, which basically is like tar to make sure it was waterproof. And then she knew what the habit of Pharaoh's daughter was. Pharaoh's daughter had a habit of coming down to the river at a certain time to bathe. And so what happened was Jehochabed got, you know, essentially in a place where she couldn't be spotted, waited for Pharaoh's daughter to come down to bathe. And then what she did was she floated that little basket with Moses in it out into the current, as the current would take the baby in the basket, you know, by where Pharaoh's daughter was. And that's exactly what happened. So, you know, all of a sudden there was attention called to the basket. Pharaoh's daughter's handmaidens fetch the basket, they bring it back, and here's this little baby boy that you and I and the whole world knows as Moses. Now, it's very interesting. You have to remember there was still a decree that had gone out that all the male children, 2 years of age and under, be put to death. Now, who is the one who put the decree out? Pharaoh. Who was it that was holding this little baby? Pharaoh's daughter. Now, dads and daughters have a very special relationship, and the best way I can sum it up is this. If a daughter wants something from her daddy, she gets it. Plain and simple. Now, those of you who have daughters, you probably chuckled and giggled a little bit. You dads that had daughters, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So essentially, you got to figure what this picture must have looked like. Pharaoh's daughter takes this baby home to the palace where Pharaoh himself lives. And I can imagine she goes up to him and she says, "Dad, while I was bathing, look what I found, and I'm keeping him." Now, obviously, Pharaoh's like, okay, whatever you want, dear. So essentially, Moses grows up in the house of Pharaoh with the best of everything. Now, to add a little bit more godliness to this story, Moses' sister saw what was taking place, and she was probably there with Jehochabed watching what was going on. And when Pharaoh's daughter said, you know, I'm gonna take this baby home, you know, Moses' little, well, I guess it'd be his older sister, but she was still little at the time, said, "Hey, look, I know a nursemaid for this child. I can call this nursemaid." Well, guess who she called? Guess who she went and told? It was Jehochabed, Moses' mother. So Moses continued to be able to have that relationship with his mother, essentially, that they didn't know about, but yet she was able to teach him the godly ways. So as we get into these particular passages, there are things that we need to see, some things and some qualities that we need to see. So down there, you know, particularly in verse 23, let's go back and what 23 says. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." What happened was they saw potential. He was a proper child. You know, if you go back and you look in at the passages in Exodus chapter 2, verse 2, he was a godly child, okay? He was exceedingly fair, as described in Acts chapter 7, verse 20. You need to remember, now, again, you have to understand, these are reactions from parents. You know, I've never really heard a parent who say, "Well, you know, I got an ugly baby," or "I've got a dumb baby," or anything like that. So we have to understand that these are reactions from parents. But she loved him as he was, and essentially expected the most from him. She knew that there was potential that he had. In the same way, God knows that you and I have potential. And when I talk about that potential, I'm talking about potential to be used for him. Potential to be used for the kingdom, potential to be used for his honor and for his glory. Okay? You see, folks, plain and simple, a child should be a blessing, not a bother. And too many times people today look at children as a bother. Now, not any of the people I know, but I've looked around as you have, and you have seen that as well. It's like they'll do anything to essentially get rid of the child. Well, here's money. Go do this. Well, here's this. Go do that. Anything to keep from having to be a part of that child's life. And folks, let me just remind you something. Psalm 127 tells us that children are gifts from God. They are his heritage. And what a blessing Moses was to his mother, Jehochabed. So in light of all this, in light of the decrees and the hard times, the decrees that had been handed down in the hard times of that particular day, she did something essentially that was illegal. She risked her life for her son. See, she dared to violate the law. Remember, the law said, because this law was made, that male children 2 years of age and under were to be put to death. She violated that to save her son. Generally, we are to obey the law. Now, there is a time to break the law. And the time to break the law is when man's laws conflict with God's laws. Acts chapter 5, verse 29 says, we ought to obey God rather than man. So there's a fine line there. Now, God expects us to be law-abiding citizens until it comes to the point where it violates his word or his commands towards you and I. Think of the examples of the apostles and other heroes of the faith that are mentioned not only in the book of Hebrews, but throughout the Bible. You know, there were times that they wound up in jail. Paul wound up in jail all the time. Now, in spite of the command of the king, Jehochabed hid her son. In other words, you know, she wasn't going to let them just take, she wasn't going to go softly into that dark night. And it says in the word, she was not afraid, and her son learned courage from her down in verse 27. Because remember, she actually got to be Moses' nursemaid because his sister, when she came up to Pharaoh's daughter, said, I know a lady who can nurse this baby for you. And then she went and got her mama, which was also Moses' mother. So she had the chance, essentially, to raise her son. Now, what she did, according to verse 24 of our text today, she imparted faith to her son. Faith is now moving from parent to child. And that's what we should do. Isn't that the way that it should be? We should be legacy parents. We should be teaching our children the ways of the Lord. We should be raising them in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. And the Bible also tells us that train up a child in the ways that they should go, and when they're old, they will not part from that. So here's Moses' mom imparting, you know, faith in God to him. And so the faith is moving. Now, understand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that just because you know somebody spiritual that that's going to get you to heaven. That's not what I'm saying at all. But we are to teach our children. That's exactly what we talk about when we do baby dedications. A baby dedication in our church, and hopefully any other church, it doesn't have anything to do with salvation. It's a promise that parents are going to raise this child in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. It's also a promise from the church that we will support the parents while raising this child, and that we will be godly influences in the child's life through the church, through Sunday school, through VBS, and through all these other events that may take place. And this is something that as we continually expose this child to the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that as the Holy Spirit knocks on their door, we're praying that they would very soon understand the call of the Father, that they would very soon understand that they're sinners, and without a Savior, they would spend an eternity in hell. That's our job. That's our job as parents, is to be able to be a legacy parent, to move faith into our children. Now, the plan allowed her to become his nurse. That was part of God's plan. I mean, God puts things together in an incredible way, doesn't he? She would be able to be with him. She would nurse him as he got older. She would teach him about his people and about her and about the Lord. And she was very adamant to do that. Now, her teachings would make him a tremendous man of faith. You know, he would choose to serve God and help his people. Notice it says he would choose to serve God. As we get into some of the particulars, even as he got older, one of the things that we learned, one of the things that we know and understand was that he always remembered who he was as a Hebrew. If you will remember, one of the things that got him in trouble was the fact that there was a fight between an Egyptian and a Hebrew, and Moses intervened and he wound up killing the Egyptian. Then he hid the body, and then a little while later, I'm not sure how long, the scripture doesn't tell us, there was another source of contention between a Hebrew and an Egyptian. Moses tries to step in, tries to be peacemaker, and then the Egyptian says, well, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to do the same thing to me that you did to the other Egyptian? Are you going to kill me too? At that point, Moses knew that people knew what was going on, and that was the point that he fled Egypt and went out I'll call it the wilderness, to be a shepherd, where God found him when he called him to be the Savior and deliverer of the people of Israel. Now, when I say Savior, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about deliver them from their infirmities as God's instrument, okay? Now, Moses' mother was very patient. You know, she instructed him, but what she did was she took the time to build a faithful son. Isn't that what we want? Now, folks, I'm going to say something that oftentimes is controversial with some people because I know the times that we live in. Think about all the things that you allow to take the place of discipleship, or the things that you allow in your children's lives to take the place of church or Sunday school or vacation Bible school or all these other things. Very often it's sports. You know, what happens is I can remember a day when I was growing up back in good old Hinton, West Virginia, you didn't have practices on Sunday. In fact, stores were not open on Sunday. They had the blue laws. There were so many other things because we would honor that day for our Lord and as a day of rest. But it's not that way today. But let me tell you something, and hear me out. If it's athletics, whether it's soccer, baseball, or whatever, and listen, I'm a huge sports fan. Anybody that knows me can tell you that. But here's something I can make you a promise for. When your children are young, that is the very impressionable time in their life. Those are the times that they're going to decide the ways that they're going to go. And we cannot lose those opportunities to keep Jesus before them. Okay? Now here's the thing that I say. I know less than 1% of athletes will ever make it to play pro ball. Less than 1%. So there's less than a 1% chance that your child is actually going to be a professional ball player. But let me tell you this, there's a 100% chance that they're going to stand before their maker. There's a 100% chance that they will stand before God and answer for what they've done. And there's a 100% chance that you and I as parents will do the same thing. I want you to consider that as you make those decisions in this day and age. So back to Jehochabed. You know, she enabled her son to take the long look in life, okay? Moses saw the temporary nature of sin for a season, according to this scripture. You know, it's so easy at times when we're tempted to give in to the temptation, but you have to think about what the long-term things are. Remember, the Bible tells us that sin is temporary in its nature as far as the joy or the pleasure derived from it. And Moses knew this. He realized there was a greater prize down the road. And the same holds true for you and I. Think about heaven for a minute. The places get the streets of gold, the mansion that's prepared for you. There's no more sorrow. There's no more pain. The loved ones that have gone on before us will be there. Our Savior will be there. What an incredible place heaven's going to be. And you know what? We need to keep our focus on heaven rather than the horizontal focus of the things that are here on earth, okay? So Moses, realizing that there was a very temporary nature in sin for a season, chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He understood that suffering here is temporary. But when we think about eternity, eternity is something that we cannot even wrap our mind around. I always like to say it like this. You know, you think about how old you are. At this particular point, as the shooting of this video, I am 60 years old, okay? So think about the song that all of us know, that the last verse goes, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You and I can't fathom even 10,000 years, much less an eternity. A lot of times if I'm in a public setting and I'm having an opportunity to bring up that illustration, I'll ask them, how many of you here are 10,000 years old? Nobody's 10,000 years old. Well, because our lives don't go that long. They're temporary. So I like what the Word tells us. It says our life is but a vapor that appeareth for only a short while and then vanisheth away compared to all of eternity. And folks, as believers, you and I should be living for eternity. And Moses understood that the suffering that he would endure on this planet and in his day and age would be temporary compared to eternity with the Father. See, he came to believe that eternal riches are in the Lord. And that's what he points out in verse 26 of our text. And he also learned to walk by faith, trusting God in very difficult times. Okay? So as we think about our text and our passage today, we think about the qualities of Moses' mother. You know, some of you out there that are moms, ask yourself the question, do I have these qualities? Do I bring forth these qualities in raising my children? Did I bring those qualities in raising them in the path? Did I bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Did I teach my children to fear the Lord and depart from evil? Well, folks, there's a reward for a mother's faith. Moses was chosen by God to deliver the people of Israel from Egypt. And we many of us know that story. That'll be another Bible study or another message for another day. But we know how that went. He was minding his own business, tending the sheep. And God says, you're going to be the guy that's going to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And he tried every excuse to get out of it. It didn't work. But yet all along the way, yeah, he has a very long story from the time of his birth all the way up to the time of his death. We see a lot of things recorded in God's word about Moses. But he was the one chosen by God to deliver the people. Now, all of Jehochabed's efforts to train him in faith were rewarded in the outcome of what her son did. And I believe with all my heart, God rewarded her when she entered the kingdom of heaven for her tenacity to do the right thing, to do what God had led her to do along the way. So you know what we need today? You know what we need in 2026? You know, we need mothers who train their children to trust the Lord. Is that you? Are you training your children to trust the Lord? I mean, that's critical. It's more important than ball season. It's more important than anything else that you're going to establish with your children. It's more important than high school diplomas and college degrees or anything else. So when you teach them and you train them in that manner and they trust Christ, that is the greatest thing that they could ever do. Moms, are you training your children to trust in the Lord? You know, there's an invitation to mothers today to dedicate themselves to this particular task. You know, salvation invitation is to those whose mothers have been faithful. I mean, you know, think about it, man. I know my mom's been faithful, and you know, she's going to be watching this broadcast at some point today. And I'm here today because of her and my father's trust in the Lord, their dedication, and even their dedication to have me do some things I really didn't want to do. You know, my mom and dad were my mom and dad when I was little. They became my friends later. They were my parents first. So moms all over the world, this coming Sunday, we're going to take a time to celebrate you. But today we want to take a few moments to look at what I consider to be a very great mother that is mentioned in God's Word. And we looked at some of the qualities that she had. And I trust that you too will be able to have these particular qualities when it comes down to standing before the Lord and when it comes down to looking at how you raised your children. Being a parent is a very, very critical responsibility. And it is a responsibility. If God has allowed you to be a parent, he has entrusted with you a life, a heart, and a soul. And he says, I want you to do the right thing by them. Today, we also think about those all over the world who would love to be mother. I think about the heartache and the pain that they go through because they have not been blessed. I just want to say, if that's you, that doesn't mean that you have sinned. That doesn't mean that you are out of favor with God. That was what was believed to be happening back in the days of the New Testament, when if there was a woman that was barren, it couldn't have children, she was often looked down upon by society. But that's, you know, that's not it. I know right now several couples, one couple in particular that knows they cannot have children. They went forward with the process of adoption. They have adopted two sweet, beautiful young babies that are now growing up. And I love just to be able to watch them grow. And they are loved just as if they were biological. Because you know what? You and I, essentially Gentiles, we have been adopted. We have been grafted in. So we're adopted sons as Gentiles. And you know what? An adopted son has all the legal rights that a biological son has. And Daddy treats us the same way as he does anybody else. Again, another message for another day. But I wanted to just take this moment to look at what I consider to be one of the greatest mothers ever mentioned, because she's mentioned in the Word. We see what her story is. We see courage, probably some fear along the way, but yet God paved the way for her to be everything God wanted her to be in the life of her son, who would go on to be one of the great leaders in Christian history. So this coming Sunday, I just want to encourage you, if your mom is not with you in town, if she's out of town or whatever, be sure you make that telephone call. If she's with you, be sure to take her out someplace for a nice dinner, spend some time with her, thank her for raising you to be a Christian young man or a Christian young lady, and honor them in a way that would be pleasing to God. And also, I hope and pray to see you this coming Sunday in the house of the Lord, Central Baptist Church, Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Our services start at 10:45, Sunday school and discipleship opportunities throughout the whole week in different areas, different ways, for different ages and different groups. And we would certainly love to have you come with us, okay? Come and be with us this coming Sunday to celebrate Mother's Day. Let me go ahead and close this in a word of prayer. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to remind you of the scripture I mentioned to you last week that we will be looking at the following week, all right? Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again, we're thankful, Lord, for having the opportunity. I know in my life I'm thankful for being raised in a godly family. I'm thankful for having a godly mother to show me the way. Lord, didn't mean it was always easy, but Father, I pray that you will give strength for the journey to those who are mothers today, for those who are out there striving to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord in these incredibly tough, tough times. So, Lord, bless them as only you can. Help us this coming Sunday. Lord, as we honor mothers, I pray that they will truly feel loved and honored. And, Lord, most of all, may they feel loved and honored by you because you gave them the privilege to be called mom. So, Lord, thank you for the time that we've had together. May we apply what we've learned as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, last week, what I was telling you about for this coming week, actually, we're going to be looking as we continue our series. Our new series is called Kingdom Culture, Resisting the World's Pull. And last week, we talked about the foundation of truth. Now, next week, we're going to look at marriage as a covenant. I want you to spend some time in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We're specifically going to look at verses 22 and 23. We're going to discuss God's design for marriage as a sacred covenant, and we're going to talk about resisting the societal trends that distort the divine institution of marriage. So be read up on that, Ephesians chapter 5, and I will look forward to seeing you next week. God bless. Have a great day. ¶¶